Welcome everyone to the very latest Bolt from the Blue podcast, and the Blues go marching on. We have got some exciting times coming up, and to talk about this game against a big pile of naked Geordies, we've got Bernard Dineen. Bernard, how are you?
I'm all right, mate. I'm full of a cold. You, anyone watched my vlogs recently? I've been doing the old dying duck, but I'm all right. I'm off work today, so by the time I get ready and fit, I'll be back in bloody work. So you can't enjoy it, can you? That's a problem.
Exactly. Okay. Well, listen, brother. Let's talk about this lineup, because my dad had a crack at doing the lineup for this game. And he got, like, most of them wrong, but I think that you probably did a bit better. So how did you get on with the lineup, Bernard?
Not a lot better, mate. I got seven, of course. I didn't know about KDB when I put my Pepsi 11 together, whether he would have started or not. I don't know if he hadn't didn't have his little groin thing. I was a bit disappointed, actually. I mean, there was five changes to the Liverpool game, which is fair enough. I expected the changes, but I was a bit perturbed that perhaps Lewis didn't get a game. I thought he might have got a start in this one. And, of course, he went with Doku again, which seemed to work generally, but I think we have to temper our enthusiasm for this game and the performances against what I thought, we'll talk about Newcastle, but what I thought was a pretty lackluster Newcastle. I thought they were certainly the worst I've seen them in the last few games we've played them. I thought they were quite awful. So, yeah, I got seven. Just to run through the team, I thought Nunes might have got another a start as well, or even Bob. So, yeah, Ortega, Walker, Akanji, Diaz, Guardiola, Rodri, Kovacic, Bernardo, Foden, Doku, and Haaland, of course, on the bench. Carson, Stones, Aki, Grealish, Alves, Gomez, and the aforementioned Nunes, Bob, and Lewis, who I did have originally in my starting lineup. Newcastle, interesting Newcastle. I think they've got one or two injuries, but it was an okay team. Dubravka, Murphy, Shah, Lascelles, Botman, Byrne, Bruno, Longstaff, Willock, Gordon, Isaac. I don't know too many of these guys on the bench. Karius, I know him. Dummett, Richard, Target, Kraft, Hall, Almiron, of course, we know him. Addison and Miley. But yeah, I wasn't too perturbed. A few changes, but we seem to be getting away with it now, don't we? We can make five, six, seven changes and still win games.
Yeah, my dad did predict Guardiola, but I mean that was pretty much. I mean, everyone thought that was going to happen. Looking at the Newcastle team, Isak is a danger. Sven Botman, I think, is a good defender for them. But I think it was surprisingly strong, though, Bernard. Do you not think?
Well, this is all they've got, mate, isn't it? I mean, they've got nothing else. I mean, they brought, as you said, you mentioned the bare-chested Geordies. If you bring 8,000 or 9,000, I will probably hopefully talk about the atmosphere and I wasn't happy with in a little bit. But, you've got to put a decent team out. They're not going to get into Europe, are they? They're not going to get into Europe through the league by the looks of it. They're just not good enough. And this was the only real chance they had. And, of course, he probably had to play as best as he could. But I thought Eddie Howe, I thought he did his best. But tactically, I thought they were poor. They just didn't seem to want to work or anything.
Yeah, I mean, when you his interviews before the game, he was surprisingly and gratifyingly humble. He was saying, well, you know, this is the best team in the world. You know, we don't know if we can do it. We'll do our best and everything like that. But Newcastle are a hard team to predict, Bernard. Do you not think? I mean, they're kind of like, they could do you 1 minute and lose to you the next. And I'm not exactly sure how to characterise their season.
I think they're struggling, mate. I mean, I agree with you. They are a bit inconsistent. But I think this season they've lost a bit of that fizz, haven't they? I think they've lost a bit of the boil and all the excitement, of course, is sort of...
But they're billionaires, Bernard. They're billionaires.
The trouble is now, it's all rubbing off now, mate, because you can't spend, can you? They're realising what FFP means. It's all right having a billionaire owners, but if you can't spend your money and improve the squad because your income isn't high enough, you're knackered. And of course, as you say, we got slagged off for years and are still getting slagged off. But of course, Newcastle and the fans are now realising it's not that easy, is it? It's not easy to do.
Well, opening up into the first half, some guys were quite prominent, Doku and your namesake Bernie Silva was doing the business. It was a bright opening. I'm not sure I could explain to people what that looked like, because it was more or less what we would expect, but it was a bit fractious. I don't know, what did you think about the sort of like the opening period before the goal?
Yeah, I think once we went in front, I didn't really have any thoughts about we're going to lose this. I didn't see, I know it's only about 10, 13 minutes in or something like that, but just from the start, I think Newcastle, you know, did okay, but I thought the space our players were being allowed to play in, people like Doku, who obviously was playing from the left into the middle, wasn't he, which is apparently his new role according to the Manchester Evening News now, but I'm afraid we'll play tougher teams than Newcastle, and he obviously won't have that freedom to run and do his scalding cat business around the pitch. And Newcastle just seemed to sit back and not really make any brave attempts to sort of close us down. I mean, if you think of the Liverpool game, flipping heck, I mean, it was chalk and cheese, wasn't it? The difference between playing this Newcastle team. And even putting men behind the ball, they were still giving us far too much space. From the start, I thought this could be an easy victory without breaking sweat. And, of course, it sort of turned out like that.
But we had our first goal. I don't know. Do you chalk that down to an own goal, a deflection, or what did you think? Because this was kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, 13th minute. We're neither goal, I think, would have been a goal if it hadn't been deflected. But you've got to put, you know, for the fact we won with two deflected goals, you can say we were lucky, but I don't think we were, because I think we would have found ways to score anyway. And I'm happy, you know, I've always banged on over the years about Bernardo's role in this City team, and sometimes Pep uses him as a ball carrier and doing the sort of donkey work. And this is where I want Bernardo. Bernardo's one of those guys who plays for us that is willing to have a goal. He's always willing to have a goal in and around the box. Most of the times it works. I mean, there's obviously stuff doesn't, but I'm happy. I'm happy when Bernardo's in and around the 18-yard box. And if Newcastle are going to give him all that room, he's going to have a pop. And I don't think there's any other player on us, even people like KDB and Phil Foden. For me, Bernardo creates things. He gets lucky, and he did with these two, but he can also score superb, brilliant goals. He can miss them, of course. Can, but that's where I want Bernardo. I think of all the team, all that starting 11, I think he was the only one who has the ability, a bit like Gundo, to pull something out of the bag. Bernardo, I want him in and around that 18-yard box. I appreciate what he does for us when Pep has him, you know, left back and in midfield, you know, in the middle of the pitch, collecting the ball and keeping hold of it. But even though I don't think he had a particularly fantastic game, I just loved him for his ability. If he sees goal, he'll have a pop, and I like that. You know, I'd rather him do it than someone like Walker and Kovacic. I'd rather Bernardo have the pop, because there's a chance it'll go in, and twice it did. The first one, of course, was it off Burn? Was it the first effort?
Yeah.
It's a simple ball into him, but again, as I said, Newcastle were just 3 or 4 yards off the pit. Apart from the guy marking Haaland, everyone else was giving City players 3 or 4 yards, and it. Bernardo thought, oh, I'll have a go. And when you have a go, it can go anywhere.
I didn't think that they cared too much about this game, actually, Bernardo and Newcastle, the way they were playing. But about Bernardo Silva, he's gone a little bit understated this season. Yeah. No one's been talking about him at all. What do you think? He is the classic ball carrier, but he hasn't been as sort of like he hasn't been getting his name in the back of the newspaper quite as much as he did last season.
No, I think obviously we said at the start of the season the fact he extended his contract. I remember saying with Ray that we thought that was the basis of getting a fee for him at the end of the season, and he'll be off. And I think generally because Pep's been changing tactics this season and still is, he's still messing around, he's still not quite sure how to play with this team. I think he has got under the radar. I don't think he has been as effective as he could be. And as I said, even though I don't think he played fantastically well in this game, I want him. I want him around that box. That's, you know, when we meet teams like Real Madrid and stuff like this, I want Bernardo in and around those areas where he can cause some damage. Because without Gundogan now, you know, I think he's one of the only midfielders we can rely on to actually pop up with the goals.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about Doku, Bernard, for a second, because he was our unguided missile, but he was probably the most sort of prominent one, I think, in the first half. And he's got so much potential. You just wonder, you know, if Pep can, like, can actually do something with him. He's unbelievably fast, and he's got incredibly quick feet. But just, I don't know, Bernard, there's just something missing. Something missing.
It's the final ball, mate. It's that decision-making. I think Pep mentioned Haaland didn't quite get the service that he probably needed, and I think that's probably right. And some of it was Doku, because Doku does some stuff. I don't even think he knows what he's doing. And if he doesn't know what he's doing, then the defenders probably don't know what he's doing either. But it's just that, as you said, we've said it before, it's like getting the 140 break and missing the final black, and that's what he does. He sort of... his decision making just right at the end isn't quite there, but hey, he's only young, isn't he? What is he, 22, 23? I don't know.
Yeah, how old he is. I mean, yeah.
And he's still learning the City way. I think he loved it, because I'm sure Pep told him against Newcastle to play exactly how he wanted to play. And I think sometimes we know Pep reins players in, and I thought he'd give him a bit more free rein in this game, and he did cause lots of problems. But if you think about it, I don't think he supplied one game-changing assist or anything like that. So despite his energy and despite his ability to beat people, he's still not, you know, we just need that end product. I'm sure it'll come. As I say, it might be a year or two before it does, if he stays on. But I like Doku. I think he overperformed, didn't he? I think when he joined, I think we expected, oh, this is fantastic. This is settled straight in, and of course, he's hit a bit of a flat. But I thought he enjoyed himself. I think most of the City players did, because I just thought Newcastle allowed the City players to enjoy themselves for this game.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Sorry, guys, that goal was on the 13th minute. The 31st minute came the second one, and this is another deflected goal.
But yeah, I mean,
I don't know who's getting credit for it.
This was even less likely to go in the net, wasn't it, before the deflection? It was like a cannon off his head, wasn't it? Botman's head. It was, you know, in the old game of billiards. I don't suppose many of our listeners play billiards anymore, but it was obviously, you know, in off the head. And it wasn't, all right, it wasn't 2 points, was it? But it was a goal, simple as that. But yeah, that wasn't going anywhere near the goal. I mean, it was going near the goal, but I think the keeper had it covered. And of course... he had no chance once it took the deflection. And at 2-0, I mean, I just couldn't see with that Newcastle team any. I hope we might have added more goals, but City don't seem to do that now, do we? We seem to be happy and settled down, don't we? And just if we get another one, we do. If we don't, we'll win the game 2-0 or 2-1 or whatever it ends up.
Now, were you at this game, Bernard?
Yeah, I was at the game. Yeah, I was in my
usual spot. So what was the atmosphere like?
Well, this is what gets me angry a little bit. I mean, the South Stand is where most of City's atmosphere comes from. We know that. I'm in this what so-called singing section, although I've got my own. Obviously, lots of people around me are too busy on the phones and chatting to the mates to be singing, which pisses me off, to be honest with you, Mike. I think if you're in those railway seats, there should be a rule that if you don't sing, you get flung out. It's as simple as that. But, of course, there's too many City fans don't. But to give 2/3 of our noisiest stand, which is what they did, they give them the top tier and the bottom tier, second tier. So to give 2/3 of that stand to the Geordies, I mean, what chance have we got? You know, as far as atmosphere is concerned, I mean, they had to probably relocate some people into different places. But it was just asking for trouble. So we were always going to struggle. I mean, if City in the League Cup, when we went down there, I was there for that game in September, was it? Last September. Until the Newcastle scored, I mean, of course, we were pretty noisy and just, you know, better than them. But of course, once Newcastle scored up there, it sort of changed. But, you know, so what do you expect? Atmosphere, yes, tremendous from the Geordies, but it was just a struggle for the City fans to get going, really. They had the odd things, and we tried, and I lost my voice as I normally do with me cold. That didn't help. But yeah, it's a bit disappointing. If you're going to give them that much of the ground, I don't know how else to do it, though, mate. I don't know what else we can do. You know, we can't stick them in the family stand then, can we? Whether things will change when we get this extension, I don't know. But it just defeats. Because what happens as well, that bottom tier, the bottom tier bit, that middle bit, ends up with people who, all right, they weren't sitting down, they were stood up. But there's a lack of atmosphere from that little section. So you've got the corner bit, which is usually okay for sinking. You've got the south stand bit, which is okay for singing. You've usually got that little gap in the middle there with the Ad City fans in, supposedly, but of course you're getting more the touristy ones in there. So, of course, if that had been bouncing, it might have helped. But yeah, it's disappointing. But I have no answer to it. I have no answer. You know, I thought we did okay atmosphere wise, but whether it's 8 or 9, you know, we've got 8,000, 9,000 Geordies. I mean, you are going to struggle a bit, aren't you, mate? It's not going to be easy to out-sing as a home team. And you get the usual, is this a library and empty seats? I didn't see that many empty seats, in fairness. But these fans will sing that whether there is or not. It doesn't make any difference. So atmosphere is very good, but mainly because of the Geordie fans. But again, as I said, I'm not happy giving the South Stand over to the Geordies, basically. But what can we do? How else can we do it? I just don't know.
Well, Bernard, were you not tempted to match them, whip your top up and get the belly out like the Geordies?
No, I was fine. I had my layers, mate. I had my layers on. I said I've got my cold, so I wasn't getting anything out for this game. I wasn't getting my belly out, that's for sure. But I went in Mary D's before the game, and it was an okay atmosphere. I didn't see any sort of trouble, of course. Going back to this, I goes back to Piccadilly after I've heard a few sort of shouts and jeers from Newcastle fans, but obviously they're making their way back to Victoria Station or wherever they were getting the train back up to Newcastle. But it seemed to go off all right. It seemed to go off all right. I didn't see too much trouble or animosity.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's always talk about the quadruple. One particular team came up short on that, much to the amusement of everyone on Twitter. But this particular one, I don't know about you, Bernard, but I do like the FA Cup. I think it's a real trophy, not like the other thing. But I think we could win this.
We could. Obviously, we're going to have to beat Chelsea for once, which we've not done yet this season. And, of course, then it sets up the possibility, you know, of a Sky Blue final, doesn't it? Coventry and us. So that'll be nice. That'll be lovely. Yeah. For, you know, Wembley and Sky Blue, it'll be nice. But, yeah, no doubt that and slutty lot. Was it just me, Mike? I don't know, we're going off the subject a little bit, but I was disappointed after that game. You know, I didn't want United to win, but everyone on social media was joyous about it. Every City fan seemed to be happy. Is it just me that, you know, what did you feel like? I mean, I wanted United to get beat, even though, you know, and yeah, I seemed to be the only one. Everyone was seemed to be happy that Liverpool got beat.
Well, I'll tell you why that people like that, because we know that they are going to get beat. The thing is that Liverpool were or have been a threat, and I don't know about you, but I take a little bit more pleasure in their defeats than United's defeats, because they are completely shite, basically, Man United, and they're going to get what's coming to them. But Liverpool are a threat, so anytime they go out, I'm quite happy with that. Do you not think? I mean, did you not take a little bit of pleasure in that?
A little bit, yeah, but I was still disappointed that United won. It's as simple as that. I mean, my hatred for United goes back, you know, to being a kid.
That's a generational thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I hate United. It's as simple as that. But, of course, looking at social media, I tend to be in the minority these days. But I think from a perspective of going to a cup semi-final or a cup final with them, I don't want to go. I don't like going and mixing with United or Liverpool fans. In fairness, mm-hmm. I hate them both. I you know, from a fan's perspective, not the actual beating them. From a team perspective, from a fan's perspective, I hate it. They're horrible. They're not nice occasions. The United final last year, you know, it was okay. It was okay there because the police had a pretty good operation going on. From what I saw, I don't particularly go to places I know there's going to be United fans when I go to Wembley for these things. So I sort of stay out of it. I'm not daft. But, you know, there's even animosity on the coach part. United were fans are supposed to go to different coach parks, but you know, you get off a coach at one and there's a busload of United fans. It's just baiting City fans. And it's just a horrible atmosphere. But United and Liverpool, I don't think Liverpool's quite as bad. I think United's worse than Liverpool. I think Liverpool's bad, but not quite as bad as United. So I purely look at it from going down to Wembley to watch the final or semi-final and enjoying it. And I don't really enjoy it if we play United and there's a possibility again we don't have to. It's great when we beat them, of course it is, but you know, still possibility of that happening as long as we can get past Chelsea. So I just look at it from a fan's point of view rather than a footballing point of view, I suppose.
Yeah, I think the reason why there was so much pleasure taken in that is that we know that United are doing nothing this season. And,
I'd be more confident that we'll beat United than Liverpool, that's for sure.
As far as on the
pitch is concerned. But, of course, I'll look at the downside of it and the fact if they do fluke something, we have to suffer them. You know, I have to suffer them in work. So because they're quiet at the moment, they're always quiet because we're winning. But soon as anything happens and they beat us in any chance whatsoever, then it'll all change. It'll all come out of the woodwork again. But that's the only reason. There's one Liverpool fan at work, and he's pretty reasonable, so I don't bother with him. But of course, there's a lot more United fans. So,
well, Bernd, after that second goal, just to finish off this game, there wasn't that much talk about. I think after it seemed to fizzle out for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I did me like you. I'll have a look. I come home, have a quick look at the Guardian timeline, see if there's anything significant I've missed when I'm doing my little match report. And that second half, apart from the substitutions, there wasn't much. Was a couple of chances for Haaland. He perhaps could have done better with one or two. He sort of didn't fluff it. But yeah, I just thought it was 2-0. That was it. And that's the thing with City this year. That's why our goal difference probably isn't as high as it has been. We seem to be happy to bob on, which he did, and actually. Just if we get another goal, we do. It's one of those games where, for once, I didn't think, oh, we'll let a goal in. It'll be a mad panic. I just didn't believe Newcastle had it in them. I thought Newcastle were awful. If I'd have been a Newcastle fan, I'd be not very happy with Mr. Howe after that game. Or happy with the players, shall I say, because he's not on the pitch, is he? I just thought there was a lack of desire from Newcastle, a pretty lethargic display, impotent, I think I used the word impotent in my little thing, and of course it was just far too easy for us, and as far as entertainment on the TV is concerned, I'm sure people were probably on the phones doing other things for that second half, because there wasn't much to talk about.
Yeah, I think most of us were about halfway through that second half, Burnley, we were just thinking about the future and what's going to come. Now, Chelsea is a bogey team. My nephew supports them, and he reckons that they'll do us, because we remember that Champions League final. Did not deserve to win that, but we played without any midfield cover at all in that game. But I think Pep's learned his lesson, and I think that we've got a couple of exciting games coming up.
Yeah, I mean. Of course, you discount the FA Cup semi-final against Chelsea.
Yeah, that's true.
You think about Chelsea, I remember that, was it the semi-final a few years back? I was actually on holiday at the time, so I was watching it at a bar somewhere. I can't remember where I was, but where we sort of stuffed them, but we sort of scraped through 2-1 in the end. But I think that Champions League's a little bit, it's gone now, hasn't it? I think we've got over that, so we're not going to worry about that.
I haven't.
Well, I have now. I'll be honest, now we've won it, I don't really care that much about it. I'm not going to go back and watch it, but I don't particularly care about it. We've got to beat Chelsea. I mean, let's face it, we should have beat them twice this season. 4 points you've taken off us could cost us a league title at the end of the day, which would be disappointing. Of course, they've only got a few miles to travel. We've got to go down to London for the semi-final. I'm hoping we'll sell the tickets out pretty quickly. And we're not sure what day it's going to be yet, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, of course.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
It's always a problem for City fans, no matter what day or time. A lot of City fans will always find something to have a moan about. You know, I've already seen it. Oh, it shouldn't be held in London. Well, it is. There's nothing we can do about it. It's not going to change. The semi-finals in London were successful. If you can get down there, get down there. If you can't, don't moan about it. Just get on with it. So,
Are you going to go down there for that?
Yeah, sorry?
Are you going to go down there?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I've never not missed it. I think I've missed one Community Shield at Wembley over the last 10, 12 years or whatever. There's, I even went to the Community Shield this year, which obviously was... I didn't enjoy it because it was all touristy City fans and it was rubbish. But, I'll be down there with my lad. I might even drag my lad there. I've told him he's got to go as well. So he's one of these. Oh, I'm not paying all that money to go. It's not right. It should be a neutral venue. Not, you know, it should be in Villa Park or something like that. But anyway, I'll drag him down. But anyway, that's the 20th, isn't it? We've got Arsenal, haven't we, coming up?
That's a big one.
Yeah, less than 2 weeks. So that's it's going to be massive, isn't it? Of course, we probably won't have to do a bolt from the blue before then, but it is going to be a massive
Pierce
game.
Pierce Morgan has been out in newspapers talking about how they're going to do us like a kipper.
Alan Spunk Bubble Davis will rear his ugly head up again, won't he, and stuff like this. I've actually just been doing my Premier League years for the Arsenal game. So,
yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I saw that.
Even Sammy Nasri got on a picture, mate. Even Sammy's there against
best player who ever done the shirt, honestly.
So I've been doing that and I've been looking back and I'm actually looking at season 77-78 because I'm doing one of my history stuff things as well. And of course, I've just got to an Arsenal game where we beat them as well in that season. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it but we're going to have to do, we're going to play a tougher team than Newcastle, put it that way. But we know Arsenal, we know their press is pretty impressive. I do worry, and everyone seemed, I saw a sort of about 300 people responded to it, Edison Ortega thing. If Edison's fit for Arsenal, should he play or should Ortega play? And I looked at the results of it and it was 50-50.
I might go for Ortega, you know.
Well, you're being con, mate, because I tell you what, against Arsenal, we will struggle. Ortega,
yeah,
doesn't have the distribution against, you know, he did okay against Liverpool, but he's a bit hairy at times. And I'm not going to defend Edison. Edison was an idiot against Liverpool. We've already gone through it. He made a mistake. He shouldn't have done what he'd done. He could have done other things. But against Arsenal, they will press, and Ortega will struggle to get away from that press, and he will be sending it long. But usually, when he does send it long, we lose it. So I'm a bit worried. He's a great number.
But he's kind of like Mr. Safe Hands, though, yeah, isn't he?
I like Ortega. Don't get me wrong, I like Ortega. And I have, you know, I've had a few doubts about Edison over the last few days. I'll be honest with you. I'm thinking, you know, I've even been thinking this might interest you, that is there someone else out there that can do a better job? And that's not me. I like Edison, as you know. I'll always stick up for Edison. But as a keeper myself, I think he's getting to that stage now where we know he's going to make a rash decision in games. And, of course, I thought he was sold short by Aki, of course. I thought he still made a rash decision against Liverpool. And, fortunately, we got away with it. I am thinking, you know, asking people like yourself who've got a wide knowledge.
Oh, that's a big call, Bernard. That's a big call.
Out there. Are there any other keepers who can do this sort of job that Pep wants? Because, you know, and that's not me. I would still say 51-49 in Edison's favour over Ortega at this point in time. Probably 55-45. But, do you know of any, Mike? Any other keepers out there who might do a job? Perhaps Edison might be getting to the end of his days. I don't
know. You know, you would kill me if I told you. I actually like the substitute keeper for Liverpool, Kelleher.
Yeah,
people are going to kill me for that. But
yeah, well, I wasn't overly impressed with his yesterday with his final effort where he let that last goal in the last minute. He didn't seem to get any sort of perhaps he was knackered, I don't know, but he didn't seem to get anything in his diet to stop that last minute goal. But yeah, it's all right, Keller. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's all right. He's done a good job, but it's consistency. At least, you know, with Edison, he's been there for a few years now. But of course, we've got the problem when Pep goes that Edison might not be the new manager's sort of keeper anyway. So he may be on his last year or two anyway. We don't know, do we?
Well, there's a complete pod there. But Bernard, before we finish off, get your fixture list out, and let's take a look at the next month and see what we've got coming up, and you think is going
to
happen.
Yeah, so I should be able to click on the fixtures quite quickly, right? Yeah. So of course the Arsenal game, 31st of March. But then, I mean, you think about it, Rodri played, didn't he, against Newcastle? Yeah. Yeah, booked or anything. So I think the thing is, if he keeps book free now till game 33, he'll get away with it. But of course, we've got Arsenal at home. There's a chance we'll get booked in that one. We've got Villa at home very shortly after, Wednesday the 3rd of April. Another big game. I mean, I'll be more interested in that if we beat Arsenal. And then Villa, funny. See, you said about Newcastle being odd. What about Villa? I mean, Villa are a bit odd, aren't they, Mike?
They could do with Jack Grealish back with them.
Yeah. I mean, they are. I mean, obviously, they're sort of them and Tottenham. This is what United have got. I think United have got a good chance of getting fourth spot if they keep going, because Villa and Tottenham just want to shoot themselves in the foot every time, don't they?
I mean, Tottenham, they're up and down. It's weird, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they are. I mean, Fulham, what, 3-0? I think Tottenham battered them, really. But, of course, Fulham just, I think their XG was something like 0.3 or something, and they scored three goals. So it wasn't bad going, but, yeah, it's unusual. I don't want to see United in the Champions League because it's good for their finances. So I'm hoping Villa or Tottenham will stay up there, and United will end up probably fifth at best. But, and then, of course, you've got very quickly after one of our, a bit of a graveyard for us over the last few years. I've been three or four times myself, and I think I've seen us win once, but I think that's about it. Crystal Palace away, of course. So that's another game that could be a really big game. And, well, do we need to start talking? I don't think we'll start talking about Real Madrid away yet, will we? It's a bit... Still four games and three or four weeks.
No, we'll do them. We'll do them. I'm very confident about that.
Three crucial games. If we get 9 points from them, I'll probably start to believe, but it's not going to be easy.
Now, here is where, guys, I put Bernard on the spot, okay? Because I want Bernard to give me his percentage chance of City winning this league. And... it's a very, very difficult question. It's very, very, but I've got to ask him. So, Bernd, if you had to give your assessment on a percentage score of how likely it is that City are going to win this league this season, what would you say?
I'll tell you what, you put me on the spot. I'll tell you what, you come up with yours first and I will say whether I agree or not.
Okay. I thought 85%, because I just think that we've got the know-how, we've got the knowledge.
And there's three teams in it. You can't have 85%.
I think we've got an 85% chance of winning this thing.
While I sort of bided for time there, I've gone on the Opta analyst basis of this. And you know what they give? This is their percentage between City, Liverpool and Arsenal.
Okay.
City's chances of winning the league, as at this point in time, is 48%, right? Liverpool's is 33. Don't forget, it's a three-way split. Liverpool's is 33 and Arsenal's is 19. So I think that's far more realistic, don't you?
I mean, I'm a little bit frightened of Arsenal because I've been watching them quite closely, but you never really know what you're going to get from them. But I think that fundamentally they're bottlers, and I just think that when the pressure comes down, all their supporters are expecting that. I think that they might bottle it again, and we are not known for bottling it, and so what do you think, Bernard? Do you think that Arsenal have got it in them?
Of course you have. I mean, I don't think this... I think all three teams, City, Liverpool and Arsenal, I don't think were the best teams we've been over the last two or three seasons at our peak. I don't think City are anywhere near our peak at the moment. I think Pep's still playing with things. I think he's still looking at ways of playing games and winning games.
You think he's still experimenting?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he couldn't. I think we can pick a best 13. I think me and you could stick together and say this is our best 13 players, if you like. But I think Pep might be slightly different to what we think. And, of course, he's still playing with it. And the trouble with Liverpool's problems are they need players back. Liverpool played a fairly strong team against United. Let's face it, if they took the chances, they would have stuffed United yesterday. You know, they were shocking. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I wonder if Klopp was angry after the game. I would have been angry. If I'd have been him, I would have been angry because some of the finishing in that second half against a... You know, and some of the defending was shocking and some of the finishing was shocking. So Liverpool have work to do after that defeat. I think Arsenal are sitting pretty. I don't think Arsenal have been, you know, I think Arsenal, all right, they scrape games, of course they have, but I think they're more settled. I think Arteta, if he can keep them going, not get any injuries, etc., I think he's all right. I think they're more settled than us in Liverpool.
Bernard, is that the team that you fear more than Liverpool?
Well, based on what I saw yesterday with Liverpool, probably. But, you know, Liverpool, you need a bit of luck in cup games. Liverpool didn't get it yesterday. They blew it. They made a mess of it. They didn't particularly get it at Anfield. They perhaps could have nicked it at Anfield against us. So you just know if luck will probably run back their way at some stage. So mm-hmm. I probably fear Liverpool slightly more than Arsenal, but... Yeah, I'm more with that Opta thing, mate. I'm more with their percentages. I think City at this point in time are still, you said 85%. I would probably go 55% or something like that.
Yeah, I should qualify that. That's not the three team differential. That's just probability. Yeah. But
we've been there, done it, got the book, mate. We could do it again. But. As I said, I'm not sure we're as settled as we have been at this stage of other seasons.
Yeah, the one thing that bothers me, Bernard, is our inability to keep a clean sheet. Does that bother you as well?
Yeah, well, you got to think that. But of course, we've got other problems. You know, KDB's got getting niggly things again. Edison's got this problem, of course, and we all rely on Ortega. But as I said, don't put all your eggs in one basket with Ortega either. You know, he's going to do like Kelleher's getting death threats, I think, from Liverpool fans after yesterday. I think Ortega can do it, but you've got to allow he's going to make mistakes. You know, so let's not all jump on his back if something goes wrong. So I just think there's little niggles there that we've got that, you know, Grealish is on his way back, but. You know, well, he's not really played that much this season. He's not Gundogan, is he? Grealish isn't Gundogan. He's, you know, I've seen little bits of Bernardo alike, and even though he's not at it, he's the sort of guy for me that can step into that Gundogan role and score after 12 seconds at Wembley. Probably not, but so yeah, it is hard. It is very, very hard. Of course, it is. But like anything, the next three. League games will tell us what we're going to do in the league, and then we'll go from there.
It's funny that, isn't it? Because we said 3 games ago that the next 3 games were going to tell us what was going to happen, and then we're like 3 games later, we're no wiser, Bernard.
We should be. I mean, from a neutral's point of view, I mean, obviously, as a neutral yesterday watching that game, I'm sure how could you be neutral when Liverpool are playing United because you want them both to lose, and it's not possible, is it? And from a neutral's point of view and from Sky TV and all TNT Sports point of view, this is what they want, isn't it? They don't want anyone, but we don't want this. We want us to win it easy and settle down. But, yeah, it's got to be right to the wire on everything this season. And, of course, we've got a tough draw again in the Champions League and we're going to have to do it again. Are them teams better than they were last season? Are Bayern Munich, Real Madrid better teams? I have no idea, mate. I don't know if they're any better than they were last season. I know City aren't. I don't think we're as good as we were last season, so hopefully they're not quite as good. And, of course, you've got the the sort of I'm going to use a bad analogy then, but of course you've got Arsenal, who of course can do Bayern Munich, and what a semi final that'll be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, lads. Well, I think that'll probably do us for tonight, guys. Check out something that I posted up on Twitter. Something that I really love so much is an interview with Brian Clough talking about Malcolm Allison. I've stuck this up a couple of times, but it is so entertaining. If you get a chance to take a look at that, I think it's a really great interview. Guys, let's call it a day right here. We'll be back with you after the next game. I promise you. And we'll leave it here for now, and we'll finish off in the normal way by saying, have one of us, and up the Blues.
Up the Super Blues.